Business Weekly.
The bright and at times complicated, but no doubt eventful 2014 is coming to its end. First, of course, we'll discuss the changing geopolitical climate in the world, the launch of sanctions against Russia by the United States and the number of European countries, as well as other players, and Russia's response on the consequences it had on the global trade. We'll also touch upon the energy issue, the cancellation of the major oil pipeline project South Stream, and finally, we'll talk about this year's trend, the falling oil prices. 2014 saw a number of governments applying sanctions against individuals and businesses from Russia and Ukraine. Sanctions were approved by the United States, the European Union, and other countries, as well as international organizations. Russia has responded with sanctions back against a number of countries, including a total ban on food imports from the EU, United States, Norway, Canada, and Australia. There has been a number of waves of sanctions, all happening in the first half of the year. But since then, the situation hasn't eased. Having slapped Crimea and Sevastopol with new investment restrictions just last week, the EU stopped short of introducing new sanctions against Russia's mainland, with the political heavyweights, including France and Germany, cautiously hinting at possible policy reversal. The EU's new foreign policy chief warned that imposing more sanctions on Russia may hurt the European economy even further. The EU imposed substantial new sanctions on investment, services, and trade with Crimea and Sevastopol that became a part of Russia following the March referendum. The fresh measures prohibit EU entities from purchasing real estate in Crimea or financing Crimean companies. And earlier, during a live multi-hour Q&A session, Russian President Vladimir Putin stated that sanctions and troubles of the Russian economy had nothing to do with the reunification with Crimea. The president stressed that the main aim now is to overhaul and diversify the country's economy at such challenging times, also claiming that economic situation in Russia may even start improving already in the first quarter of 2015. Expert in global financial markets Patrick Young views Putin's assessment of the situation as rational, saying that Russia has all chances to overcome the economic crisis successfully.
I think Mr. Putin's assessment was very sanguine. He realizes that there are significant problems. He said that it's essentially a two-year target to try and escape from, and therefore it's going to be a challenge going forward. The crisis may not last as long as he thinks. I think one of the things we have to be aware of is the overall figures that actually Mr. Putin gave at the very, very start of his presentation. I mean, Russia has got a very, very significant and has achieved a significant budget surplus during the course of the year. You don't hear that term being used in the European Union. At the same point in time, the overall trade balance in Russia has been good, and ultimately, despite the terrible chaos of recent weeks, the Russian economy is going to limp out of 2014, having grown by about 0.5 or 0.6%.
Though the crisis has been provoked by different external factors, in fact, Western sanctions downplay such a major role.
Caused by external factors. I mean, clearly we've got the oil kerfuffle, however you want to define that. I mean, the oil price has been collapsing. That has a massive impact given the fact that oil and gas amounts to 50% of the Russian economy. Western sanctions certainly haven't helped the situation, although overall I don't believe that that's the primary motivation. The problem at the moment is significantly this incredible fall that we've seen in oil and gas prices. But at the same time, we really have to look at that and think, going forward, how much chance is there that we're going to see $60, $50 or even $40 oil being the long-term equilibrium? And I, for one, don't believe that that's feasible, because sooner or later we're going to see demand rising from the likes of China and so on.
Business Weekly.
And here other analysts agree. Michael Chusadovsky, a director of the Center for Research on Globalization, also claims that economic sanctions were an inevitable and compulsory measure to defend sovereignty of Russia. At the same time, he pointed out that the current situation creates new prospects for the Russian economy.
These sanctions are there because we have a country which asserts its independence regionally and globally, which has a national economy, and which is not subordinate to the whims of the U.S. administration. What the United States wants is to impose some kind of compliant Russian Federation and impose also its various tenets of management of the global economy, which are based on market manipulation and on the powers of the Western banking system, particularly the Wall Street and the oil companies and so on. And I think what comes out of this is essentially that Russia is not towing the line. These sanctions, in effect, will reinforce the Russian Federation. It will strengthen them because it will also create conditions for alternative avenues of economic development, which are not dictated by the United States and its NATO allies.
All right, now we're moving on and turn to energy. Another big story of the year, the cancellation of the South Stream gas pipeline project. After 7 years of planning, the pipeline that would carry gas from Russia to Europe via Bulgaria has been cancelled. After a long-running battle with the EU over the need for the pipeline and who would control it, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced that the project was over in its planned form at least. And now Bulgaria says that it still wants to build a European-scale gas storage facility to replace the cancelled gas pipeline and become number one in terms of diversification. The country's government offered to build gas storage facilities in the port of Varna, where the Bulgarian section of the South Stream was supposed to begin. Russia suspended the construction of the South Stream on the 1st of December this year when the Russian president was visiting Turkey. The pipeline with the capacity of over 63 billion cubic meters was planned to run through Bulgaria, Serbia, Hungary, Austria, Italy, and Slovenia. Instead, Russia will increase the capacity of the existing Blue Stream gas pipeline to 19 billion cubic meters a year and redirect the offshore route to Turkey instead of Bulgaria. And finally, one of the biggest stories of the year. It started a trend that is still ongoing, bringing profits for some and hurting the economies of the others. The falling oil prices. The Saudi oil minister announced that he was sure that crude oil prices would rebound, blaming the recent price slump on speculators and a lack of cooperation by non-OPEC members' oil producers. Now, just to remind you, the price of barrel of Brent crude has almost halved from $115 per barrel in the summer to stabilize around $60 last week by the end of December. Most forecasters expect the cost of oil to remain low well into the next year. Now, experts say lower oil prices will hit economies such as the Russian economy and Venezuelan economy, the U.S. fracking industry as well, and Iran, but could be good for shoppers and companies in the U.K. and delay the long-expected interest rate rise. That's all we've got for you. These were just some of the stories making headlines around the world this year.